You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
The court now calls to the stand, defending Jacob of Apple Plus, which is a TV streaming program looking for its great hit. We will determine today whether or not this is a great hit or just another stream and throw away into the abyss of way too much content. Defending Jacob, I believe we have someone who enjoyed the show, not sure. This is all going to be a fun surprise. Hunter!
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Bradley.
Hello. Yes, clearly that makes the prosecutor for this bit to remain working. We have a newcomer today, Alex.
Hello. I'm going to prove today that defending Jacob is long, bloated, and not very much to say.
Oh! All right. Well, great. I'll just give you all a synopsis here. We've got Chris Evans right out of the gates from his Avengers career. We last saw him go through 10 years of film defending, loving, and supporting the only family he ever knew.
America's ass.
Yeah, and his own ass.
Yeah.
And today he is totally stepping out of his wheelhouse and playing a district attorney who the odds are against. And he is defending, loving, and supporting his family, son, Jacob. Jacob has been accused of a murder most foul against one of his classmates, Mr. Rifkin. And it's up to Captain America, Chris Evans, to make sure that justice is pursued. Ah, but in the pursuit of justice, do we side with family or do we side with the law? What do you think about the premise? And how the story is told. Hunter, why don't you start off there?
So I thought the story was told extremely well. This is based off of a book that I haven't read. Kind of want to now. But Chris Evans, he's really starting to become an actor. I mean, outside of the MCU where I go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I want to see what else you're going to do. I'm a huge fan of Snowpiercer. I think that movie is just wonderful. Gifted and Knives Out. And seeing him step into this different type of role, he actually played a lawyer in that movie Puncture that he did, which I actually enjoyed. Not great, but I liked him in it. Chris Evans really gets a chance to show out here as far as his acting ability. There's a couple scenes where he just has to break down, and I went, oh my god, like, I mean, I want to hug Chris Evans anyway, but it's like, oh, you poor, beautiful, bearded man. And the cat beard is back. The Infinity War beard is back, which is always a plus. I hadn't seen Michelle Dockery in a lot of stuff. She plays his wife, Lori, and goddamn, she is just, oh, that's right, Downton Abbey. I was trying to place where I recognized her. Okay, it makes sense. She's wonderful in this. And so is the kid. I just think the way the show is shot, and admittedly, I'll just say it for you guys, the first two or three episodes, they're setting up a lot of stuff, so you do have to kind of drudge through the first couple episodes to definitely get the payoff. But, oh, like, I actually, we talked about off mic, I watched the last five episodes in a row, and hot damn, ooh, oh, they
that's
get,
a binge. That's
oh, they, oh, they get so good as the show continues to go on, and the climax of this, mwah, just beautiful. absolutely beautiful, like a perfectly cooked steak. I thought this was just...
We all enjoy steak, but maybe we don't. Alex, you said it was a bloated mess. Let's hear from you.
Mess is a strong word. It's messy. I'll be honest. I think it's kind of a cheat when a show drops the first three episodes before going week to week. Because honestly, if they hadn't dropped all three episodes and I hadn't agreed to do this review, you know, 2 months ago, I wouldn't have kept going after episode two. It, I think, really points to problems in the pacing and the structure of the series that it took episode three for me to go, okay, well, now I'm interested. And this is following, you know, a murder and the potential that this kid did it. And so I don't know about you guys, but I watched the first three, you know, in one sitting more or less. And then I kind of stopped watching for a few weeks, and then I watched episodes 4, 5, and 6 all in a row. And that second stretch of it was the most compelling, where they were setting up, I mean, I'm not sure how detailed we're supposed to go right now, but I felt like I was getting into it in those episodes. But by the end, and I don't want to spoil anything here, but so much ground is, the final episode is, I think, the best episode, but also serves to point out the series shortcomings as a whole, which is that they cover a lot of ground on that final episode. I think we'll all agree. Like, they kind of, you know, a lot happens in that last hour.
Yeah.
But I go, well, where was this pacing the entire show? Because ultimately, because I was looking back through the show today before we did this, I kind of skipped around the episodes a bit just to refresh myself. And I realized rewatching some of these episodes that a lot of things don't matter. There are a lot of things that are introduced and then dropped. And ultimately, the show is more interested in questions that I personally do not find very engaging.
No, absolutely. And that brings me to our next point I'd like us to discuss. Hunter, I'd love to hear from you. You said it's like a well-fined cooked steak, which of course is a medium rare at the most. Well done is horrible. Don't eat well done meat, people. But wouldn't you say it's more like a fish because of all the red herring?
No, okay. First off, that was great. That was Chris Lovell of a pun. Secondly, I would say it's like a fish. I would say it's like a fish because it's like catfish. Well-cooked, delicious catfish, because I don't get why you guys just don't like this. I mean, that's fine. You know, whatever. But the thing about this show, as far as the pacing, yes, the first three episodes, as I mentioned, they are a little bit of a drag to get through, but the character development is so compelling. I loved Lori and Andy's relationship because they have built this really sweet relationship together, and you can tell that they really do love each other. And there is a secret about Andy and kind of his history that's told, I want to say it's episode 3 or 4, that when it's revealed, you go, oh, that's really inconvenient that was that this thing exists and that this thing happened. And it really does give more humanity to Andy as the show develops, because it is fascinating to watch them being on the same journey but two different paths. That Lori wants to go ahead and find the truth at any cost. Andy wants to go and protect his son at any cost, as you know, any parent would. And if there's a complaint I have about this show, and I get he's a teenager, but there are a couple times I wanted to just shake Jacob. I'm like, stop being an asshole. It's like, oh my God, like, your parents are trying to help you. There is this piece of evidence that's...
Well, he's a teenager, though.
I don't want to hear that. No.
I actually thought that Jacob is one of the most accurate teenagers I've ever seen in a show. I think that he really nailed them.
I do want to say real quick here, Jacob Barber, the character's name, and the murderer, or is he, played by Jadeen Martell. Now, Jadeen Martell, this kid, I don't think he's going to blow up from this movie. However, he actually has a phenomenal career. He was in St. Vincent, excellent indie film. He was Bill Denimbro in It, fantastic character.
He was in Knives Out with Chris Evans.
Evans, we have a reunion. And in one of the more frustrating Jeff Nichols films, he's the kid in Midnight Special, Alton.
You don't like Midnight... Bradley, we're just not syncing today. I love Midnight Special.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it was one of the more frustrating Jeff Nichols movies.
but No, he's great. He's great in this.
He's fantastic. Yeah.
But yes, the kid at points for me, I'm just like, there's a point where he has, this isn't really a spoiler, where he slut shames this girl. And I remember I was like, oh, you mother. Like, I was so angry at him that moment. And there's a piece of evidence that is introduced. I won't spoil it. But when it's introduced, I was like, oh my god, that battleship is sunk. I was like, holy crap, how is that? Like, it's in that scene is so well played. And someone we do need to give credit to is Sherry Jones, who played Joanna Klein, who ends up being their lawyer. And she's amazing. Like, she's very real with them about, you know, the implications and how hard this case is going to be. And there's a scene where she's grilling Jacob, and Jacob kind of freaks out, and she tells him she tells him point blank, you think I'm grilling you hard? That's not even close to what Pablo Schreiber, who you know from Orange is the New Black, who plays Neil, who's this rival lawyer, who just has a hard on for Andy, which, if there's any character that just was wonderful, it was Neil, because he's such a dick. Like, I wanted to shoot him. Like, I would have shot on point-blank range. I'm like, god damn, dude, why are you such a grade-A asshole? Him and Andy have this great confrontation in one of the later episodes. I went, yeah, I would have. But he's great in this, and he's such a great foil. God, you guys didn't like this.
I actually... That brings me to one of my points about the show, which is things that are brought up and then dropped abruptly, where there's a really great moment, or I should say scene, where it's a flashback to years before any of this happens. And I think it should be noted that Pablo Schreiber's character is the prosecutor in Jacob's case. He's a former colleague of Chris Evans who is charged with, you know, prosecuting his son. And it's clear from the jump that these guys don't get along. And they never explain why. So there's a scene later on in the series where they show them their friends and Pablo Schreiber, and they show this with, you know, flashback facial hair, where he has this ratty, you know, goatee or mustache or something.
I thought he looked kind of cool with it.
I thought it looked fine. But it's a scene where it shows them, you know, being friendly, and Chris Evans giving this, you know, young lawyer advice. It's actually a really sweet moment. And I thought, oh, wow. Like, so what happened between them? Why are these guys, you know, so nasty toward each other now, and they never explain it. And it just seems like there's a lot of those in this show, where there's moments of really wonderful characterization that's never built up, that's never built upon. I think one of the best scenes in the whole series comes in episode, I want to say like 4, where Chris Evans and Michelle Dockery go to this doctor who's charged with trying to see if, you know, for the defense, if they can say that Jacob has, you know, a genetic predisposition to murder, or, you know, a sociopath, something like that. And there's a scene where it's the two of them talking about him as a child. And they both have very different recollections of how he was as a little kid. And it's moments like that of how two parents see their child's life differently. And I was like, oh, that's a really fascinating, you know, way to go about this. And they sort of scratch at that idea, but they never go much further with it.
No, they don't. There's a lot of itches scratched here, but nothing's like torn asunder, and there's no blood from all the scratching.
Yeah, and I felt that by the end, nothing meaningful really happened. And I think that the show is far more interested in the investigation of the murder than I was personally.
Why do you feel that way when how this kid was murdered and who murdered him turns out to be just a ho-hum who cares towards the end?
It's not even a ho-hum who cares. It's that realistically, they don't do a good job of setting up other possibilities. Either Jacob did it, or it's this one person who we keep cutting back to with ominous music. So it's like either Jacob did it.
And shifty eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, or like this guy, or like this sweaty guy in the corner, you know, watching young boys did it. And it's
like,
this,
yeah, for me.
Yeah.
Go on.
But it's just a thing where they never do a really good job of me being, they don't make you curious. They just sort of say,
yeah,
did Jacob do it? Or was it this really shifty, obvious person? The main question is, did Jacob do it? And I sort of don't care for most of the series. The joy of the series is watching his parents grapple with that question. Whenever we leave that and we start focusing on police work or, you know, Andy's one-man investigation, the show kind of falls apart because there's just not enough there.
I disagree. Yeah, you do only have a couple suspects, but the aspects of seeing really Jacob's psyche and seeing how he interacts at school and how really this is a almost unintentional critique of social media, the way that kids are so quick to be like vultures on this kid and be like, oh my God, he did it, and how they spread rumors and all that. And it really shows, it actually almost reminded me to go kind of old school on the reference. It reminded me of that one Twilight Zone episode the monsters are doing on Maple Street.
Oh, wow.
Because it shows that mob mentality that people have, even when, you know, the wheels of justice are still, you know, are turning, you know. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. Yeah, again, you know, it's either Jacob or Kevin Spacey. Sorry, whatever the character's name was. But yeah, you only have those two people as suspects. But at the same time, again, you are seeing how Jacob's mental state does deteriorate as this is going on. And I think the show does a great job of letting you know, yeah, the kid is 14 years old and he makes some terrible mistakes. Do not misunderstand me. But again, he's 14 years old dealing with the stress of this, watching his parents, you know, try to go ahead and keep their marriage from falling apart while dealing with him. I found that fascinating enough to go ahead and cover up any lack as far as multiple suspects in the show. And the show is more invested in multiple relationships. The relationship between Andy and I can't think of his partner's name.
Lori.
Pam Duffy. Their relationship.
Betty
I found,
Gabriel from Get Out. She was
Who is great in this. Their relationship with that was awesome. If I have a complaint, I would have liked more of a Duffy. I thought she was great in the spot they had her in, and she is she's in the show enough to be more than a plot device. But I want some more of her. And there's a great subplot with Andy and his dad, who I won't spoil who plays his dad, but when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome.
That was very frustrating to me.
I agree. No,
oh my gosh, why?
Because you don't get that actor and then do nothing with him.
I'm not finishing this show without that cameo episode. It comes in episode 4. And I said, all right, full speed ahead. We got it. We got it. We got the amazing actor in here who's going to do something. So let's watch and see. But Alex, why don't you go into your final thoughts on Defending Jacob?
I just have one more point before we get into final thoughts. I'm sorry. I just want to talk about pacing and structure one more time because I think it's really important. All right. the show's fatal error for me is the framing device that starts with episode 1 and ends in episode 8. And it is such a big nothing that adds nothing to the story and comes to nothing and is only there to undercut the stakes of the show, because it answers questions that I didn't even have. But I go, oh, well, if you're having this conversation as a framing device, then I know that blank is going to happen, you know. And whenever they would cut back to the framing device, I would just go, no, I don't care. And it really undercut a lot of the dramatic tension of the series for me.
Definitely doesn't give it any points for rewatchability.
Yeah, but for final thoughts, I will say that I mentioned this before we started recording, that watching the entire series, I felt like Jeff Daniels in episode 1 of The Newsroom. And I'm asking myself, you know, is this the best Apple TV Plus show? You know, why is it the greatest Apple TV Plus show? And my answer is it's not, but it could be. There's so many good things about it. The performances are almost universally great. Even when the writing isn't there to back up a lot of the decisions that the characters make, I think that they do a lot of good things with material that they're given, make a lot of interesting choices. But ultimately, when I look at it as a whole and think about what mattered from it in the end and how much of it actually, like how many things actually happened, I wrote index cards where it's like, all right, this is what happened this episode. And a lot of it is the same thing over and over again. And I think that had this been 5 episodes, 6 episodes, I think have been really powerful. But as it is, I got to give it 6 stabs out of 10.
Ooh, brutal. Hunter.
Yeah, I have a feeling, Bradley, you're going to be right around that range. That's fine. I'll educate the audience here. Don't listen to that 6 out of 10. This show is delightful. Again, yes, it definitely has some pacing issues in the first couple episodes, but very much like the first season of Mad Men, you are rewarded for your patience if you stick with it. Chris Evans turns an absolutely amazing turn here. I love the relationships that they built through this, and this show does a great job as well of having a lot of diversity in the show without beating you over the head with it. It was really well done. It was just nice to see, you know, people of color as doctors. I'm like, oh, that's nice to see. I thought this show was incredibly well done. There's not a lot of rewatchability because, again, when you get to the end, it is like, oh, okay, ride's over. But if you want to go back and just rewatch some clips for the acting alone, especially in the back half of this show, I wouldn't blame you. So I'm going to give this 9 knives thrown in a trash can out of 10.
All right. 9 knives. Oh, boy. Knives out the trash can.
Break my heart, Bradley. I'm prepared.
No. I'm not breaking anybody's heart today. I do like what you said about the pacing, Alex. I'm not a fan at all of these jump ahead, jump back, jump forward, jump ahead narratives. Because in episode 1, we see Chris Evans is on trial. What? Who plays Andy Byer. But why is he on trial? Or rather, a part of this grand jury questioning. What could that mean? It's a mystery. And
no, it's not.
This show, every episode pitches, it's a mystery, huh? Where's the knife? It's, oh, we don't know, but who bought the knife? Did you buy it? We don't know. And they throw so many, but that ended up not even mattering mysteries into the show that I was just frustrated most through this whole thing.
Yeah, they literally explain away with one line. They go, oh, it's nothing. Right. Never mind.
Like, yeah, in episode 1, you know, like you said, there was a knife thrown in a trash can. I'm like, oh, can't wait for those crows to come home to roost. And this is episode 1, so I hope no one feels spoiled, but they don't. They don't come home to roost. Well, my real life experiences always trouble me when trying to watch shows like this. I realize this isn't my jam because there are things in episode 8 that come out, conversations that are had, and moments that are explored that, for me as a father, would happen day one. So everyone's just withholding information for the sake of drama. There's no clues. There's no breadcrumbs. It's just everyone is withholding information. And that is even more obvious because of all the time jumping that happens. I really love the performances, though. I think the star of this show, without a doubt for me, was in fact the character Laurie Barber, played by Michelle Dockery.
Agreed.
I think getting rid of all the "I hate mysteries, I'm bread, boo-hoo" stuff aside, the performance is outstanding. I think she's a mother on the edge. She's a mother that just wants to know the truth so she can move on with her life and love her son unconditionally. I haven't seen such a great performance as this since, spoiler, I'm not going to say, but it does involve an amazing actress. So I'm at odds with this. I wouldn't say don't watch it. It is entertaining. I hate the procedural. I hate that there really isn't a mystery here. But I'm going to give it 6 mean phrases painted on 10 garages. All right. So are either of you parents?
No. I'm 26. I don't have kids.
Oh, so many people have kids before that. But that was a silly thing of me to say. You'd love your kid if he was on a murder trial, of course, right?
I think that that's actually part of the problem with the show. If I can just jump back into this real quick. I'm so sorry.
Sure. Let's close it out. Go on.
I think that one of the things that I noticed by the end of it is that they never give us a reason to like a lot of these characters. I think Laurie is the best character because I think she is the most active character in that she's looking for the truth. Whereas with Jacob, because the central doubt of the show is he a killer, it's kind of hard to fully embrace him and fully care about his plight, because you go, he looks pretty bad. You know, I don't know. And he is so closed off and withdrawn for so much of it. It's hard to care about him. But I care about Lori, and I care about her dealing with, you know, being ostracized by the community, having her job taken away, all of these things that happen. Whereas Chris Evans, they never – there's a script writing term called save the cat. And usually that means in the first few minutes of a movie, they'll have the main character do something like save a cat or do a good deed, so we know, oh, they're a good person. And he never does enough to make me go, oh, I like that guy, because he's so cocky and so in denial that I never liked him. And I actively rooted against him for most of the show, because I found him – and it's a good performance. I'm not saying he did a bad job in the part, but the character, the one nice thing he does is give the Yogurt Man a nice tip.
Oh, not the Phineas son. That doesn't count as a nice thing. Okay.
No, I think it's what you're supposed to do as a parent. I think it's what you're supposed to do. You don't get a medal for that.
Okay, well, if that... Okay, that's a spoiler. Never mind. Okay, fine. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say. This is great, and yeah, if you don't like it, that's fine. That's on you. It's on the show.
I am glad you liked it. I do want to be clear. I'm glad you liked it, because there is a lot to like here. I'm glad that you got more mileage out of it than I did.
Closing it out, Tony Stark was right. Bucky belongs in prison. Thanks for listening, everybody.